T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's finally going to happen. And not for a fundraiser, which would be great.
This one's going to be
straight profit.
We're making money off of this.
Straight
son of a
money.
Guy. Yeah, straight cash, homie.
That's right.
Making some cash off of this one, right?
Kansas and Missouri will play hoops again.
Got a little exciting last night,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Got a little exciting last night to see these two schools getting ready to kind of rock and roll it on the college basketball court. I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. That fake game in 2017 that didn't matter for anything except raising money for a good cause, that was the last time I was really, truly excited about college basketball and really into a college basketball game.
I mean, really?
Yes, really. Really, because it actually, you know, kind of meant something. It was like the rivalry was renewed a little bit for that game. And really, since then, there really hasn't been much.
That's a good name. We should do something with that.
Yeah, well, there hasn't really been much excitement since then on the college basketball floor. And this game, this renewal of the rivalry for me, while I'm very excited about it because it actually gives me something tangible to watch during the college basketball season because of that rooting interest and the, you know, as a Kansas fan, you dislike Missouri, and as a Missouri fan, you dislike Kansas, like a real final, like real rivalry game finally since 2012. But I also think this is also a kind of a last-ditch effort for both universities to kind of save college sports in Kansas City. And what I mean by that, Josh, is the border war is back. But Kansas City became a pro town overnight. When the Big 12 split up back in 2012 and Missouri went to the SEC and Kansas went to play teams you never heard of in the Big 12 Conference, it lost its luster here in Kansas City. And I was kind of holding on, kicking and screaming, thinking, now we're still going to be a great college town. Since the Big 12 split up and the college conference realignments have happened, college sports has not been the same in Kansas City. It just doesn't have the same kind of energy, excitement, firepower that it did when we were all involved.
Everybody involved. Conversation you could have, even if it didn't involve specifically your team, got to near enough your team where you cared,
right,
or you were ticked,
or you were mad, or something. Right. There was a way to kind of you know get the emotion going with college sports in this town. But since the split up of the Big 12 Conference, it hasn't been like that. Now, on the same hand, the Royals started winning, and they went to 2 world championships, okay, and they won a World Series. 13 was great. 14 was awesome. 15 was even better. And as the Royals started to win and become champions, then all of a sudden the Kansas City Chiefs picked up their end of the slack and started to be a perennial playoff team and then went out and got Patrick Mahomes. And so the palate for college sports in this town has severely declined.
Sporting KC was on the rise during that whole time as well. So.
And we became a city that became a pro sports franchise winning, rooting city overnight, where the college stuff was fun for a long, long time. But I think the reason we were such a good college town is because our pro team stunk. You know, we really had nothing to root for when it came to those professional teams. Then all of a sudden, the professional teams got good. The Big 12 split up, and the sports landscape in this town changed dramatically. And now I look at this game, and they're bringing it back, and they're playing, obviously, the first game next year at Sprint Center. I think it's an effort by both Missouri and Kansas looking around on the sports landscape saying, we need to find a way to get Kansas City back and involved into this. And we need to find a way to really start generating some excitement again in Kansas City for both of our programs. And this is a way to do it. I mean, I was looking at that press release Kansas sent out yesterday, and on it, it said the only way to get tickets to next year's game at Sprint Center is to be a season ticket holder this year for Kansas basketball, and season ticket packages are still available. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember ever on the eve of a season Kansas basketball season tickets being available for purchase and widely discussed like it was in that write-up that we saw yesterday. I think the success of the Royals, the success of Sporting Kansas City, the success of the Chiefs has taken a lot of discretionary income that used to be spent in Columbia and in Kansas, in Lawrence, And it's now being spent on the Chiefs. It's being spent on the Royals. It's being spent on Sporting Kansas City. And I think people have reallocated their dollars to, you know, to go to these professional games as opposed to the college games. And I think both Kansas and Missouri have lost a lot when it comes to the Kansas City market. And so for me, this is an effort for them. While it's fun for us, and we're going to have some smack talking going on all morning long, and the phone lines are open if you want to come in and talk smack on your rival today, that's what this is all about. But it's about both schools trying to grab Kansas City back. I remember having a conversation with somebody at KU about a year ago, and they said to me, their weakest market when it comes to donations in the country is Kansas City. And I thought, wow, that is pretty remarkable. With a huge alumni base here, it's hard to get money out of donors in Kansas City.
They're probably a little forgotten about, too.
And yeah, probably.
Right? Not, but, you're so close. You can just pop over to campus. You're going to remember us. Probably hasn't been as much work done in that regard either.
Probably hasn't been as much work done, and that was also relayed to me. Well, we probably haven't done our best over in Kansas City to get money out. But this is what this is all about. This is a renewal of the rivalry by both schools to say, hey, look at us.
We're still here.
Hey, I know the Chiefs are great, and Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, and the Royals have gotten to back-to-back world championships, and Sporting Kansas City is doing good things, and hey, we're still here. But this was self-inflicted when the Big 12 split up. And we kind of all talked about that Kansas City would be one of the markets, if not really the only market in the country, that was really hurt by conference realignment and the way that it all went down, because it directly involved teams that were big-time teams right here in our town. And that split of those two teams, just Missouri and Kansas alone, just the split of those two schools alone into different conferences, changed the entire sports landscape at the college level here in Kansas City. And they saw what happened in 2007. That's the most excited I've been about a college basketball game in years. It's the most excited I've been since about a college basketball game. And now we got it back because it is a true rivalry. We're not trying to fake a rivalry with Iowa State or with Texas or with Arkansas or with South Carolina. This is an actual true rivalry, one that really has anger and hatred and dislike on both sides. It's great that it's coming back. But sometimes you think to yourself, maybe it's too little too late, because we've kind of passed the college sports by in this town, and we've got an MVP and Super Bowl expectations every year, and a baseball team that's on the come, and a soccer team that's one of the best in the league. And you have to wonder if they waited a little bit too late to renew this rivalry. It's still going to be fun, but I don't know that it's going to recapture Kansas City as a college sports town like it was before the Big 12 split up.
I don't know. But it's going to be a singular event. It won't be, obviously, the year-long capturing of whatever, but a singular event, pretty good.
Sure.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Because you're going to play on both campuses as well. You're going to light that thing up, too, that you're playing on both in both Lawrence and Columbia in the middle of the Sprint Center sandwich, Sprint Center at the bookends of it.
Right.
The campuses twice each in between. You're going to be able to do it. I love the date placement of the whole thing. It's not too early in the non-conference, so both teams kind of get going. It's before conference play starts, so it's kind of that appetizer for that. So I think well thought out, well done. Glad everybody finally got it going. It's the precursor as well. Football, still can't tell me why, but they plan so far out in advance.
We got games scheduled in 2030, Josh.
So they're going to tweak dates and get football done too. They're going to get Arrowhead worked out. There's already like a Missouri versus TBA out there at like 2025 or something.
That's probably going to be Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we just reveal the tab and that's going to be Kansas. So they're going to get football going sooner rather than later. And it's the right thing to do. It's time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all the parties involved in the divorce of the whole thing are gone except for Bill Self.
Right.
And Bill Self was kind of the holdout to this. On the Kansas side, once he started to soften, got basically everybody else had turned over at both schools,
mm-hmm.
You knew it was kind of going to be a matter of time.
Well, it was going to be a matter of time, and I think Bill really saw what happened in 2017 and saw really how important that rivalry was, because for so long, and I believe this as well, for so long as a Kansas guy, I believe it's not that important. We don't need Mizzou. We'll go out and play Duke. We'll go out and play North Carolina, which is all true, all well and good, and the whole narrative was Missouri needs Kansas more than Kansas needs Mizzou, and I totally believe that from a basketball, you know, strength of schedule standpoint. Mizzou gets a win over Kansas, it's much more valuable than Kansas getting a win over Mizzou. And Kansas has always had the mindset, we're going to play teams that are going to help our RPI. And even Kansas has spread the message before, we're not here to do what's best for Kansas City. We're here to do what's best for the University of Kansas. Well, I think they realize right now that what's best for the University of Kansas now finally is to get this rivalry back started again and generate some interest back in Kansas City for this game. Like, if Kansas released a schedule today and they said, oh, we're playing Duke for the next 4 years, it would maybe be in the update at the top of the hour and we'd move on and we wouldn't talk about it. But this is going to generate interest. This is going to generate excitement. This is going to generate fun. And any Kansas fan out there that is saying, I don't care about this, it's not a big deal, you are a liar. This is a huge deal, because I used to be in that position and I realized in 2017 how much I missed this game, how much I wanted this game back on the schedule, and how much I really needed this game back on the schedule. And I think Kansas and the powers that be at Kansas realize that as well. And I'm saying Bill Self realize that as well, how significant and how fun a game it was.
You took your marching orders from him, and that's fine.
I do, and I still do. Yeah. This witch hunt the NCAA is going on as well.
I understand, but that was the holdout to this whole thing. So once that turned, I think people kind of softened on it. He told you for years he didn't need the thing.
Right. And you don't from a scheduling standpoint, but you do from a fan interest standpoint and keeping your fans happy. And like I said to start this segment off, Josh, both schools lost a lot in Kansas City from fan interest and fan dollars being spent because of the split and because the Royals, Chiefs, and Sporting Kansas City all got good.
Do you want to see Alcorn State at Allen Fieldhouse?
No, I don't.
You're going to still see some of those, but you know, they had the juice of the Champions Classic at the beginning of the schedule. You're going to play a November tournament of some sort,
sure.
Whether it's Maui or wherever. All the times that's going to be in rotation. You had a Sprint Center game anyway,
right?
Why not make Mizzou?
Why not make Mizzou?
And then from Missouri's standpoint as well, they have a lot of juice from their non-conference schedule usually. No. Not really. Not in recent years. They'll play like one game.
Now, everybody Kansas will play in the non-conference will be a tournament team this year. That's seemingly the way
Yes, but they're all like they're tournament teams that won their, tried to play, conference champions or smaller conference. But those don't bring any juice in terms of
you're not excited about
going to those games. This one gives you a little juice. And again, at the right time, it's not, you know, the first part of November brings you that Champions Classic. Now, middle December will bring you Missouri. And then you start league play at the end of December.
Right.
Perfect time for both.
I wonder if the Illinois game is going to be affected by this at all over there in St. Louis. I wonder if they'll still play that game.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Mizzou playing Kansas and Illinois basically on back-to-back nights, if you will, back-to-back games, because they're right around the same time of the year. That Missouri-Illinois game was always going into the Christmas break, you know, right there before the Christmas holiday started. And so that's going to be kind of cool for Mizzou to see both of their rivals and basically back-to-back games like that, like they're going to have playing big venues, play in front of big crowds. I mean, it does rejuvenate college basketball for that one night here in Kansas City. And quite honestly, for a guy like me who's pretty much checked out on the sport, I need something like this, and this gives me something like this. This gives me excitement, and I can't wait for this game next year.
So you can weigh in on trash talking, because that was always the best part of this this rivalry to me, that it didn't matter what it was. You just start arguing about it.
Yeah, my Facebook page turned back into a dumpster fire for the first time in years last night.
You look back, and you're like, yeah, this means a little something.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk trash on the opposition, feel free all day long, 913-576-7610. He's jogging or walking in a pool, so it's got to be close, right? Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We'll have both athletic directors for Kansas and Missouri coming up together at 7:30.
I wonder which one will talk more smack, Jeff Long or Jim Sterk. Who's your money on?
I don't know that either will talk smack. I think they'll be very complimentary of one another. But
we worked well together to get this done. No, talk smack!
The two involved in getting this thing done, Missouri and Kansas, they'll join us coming up at 7:30. Sprint Center again, December 12th, 2020, for the first matchup since 2012 for Kansas and Missouri in the regular season, campuses twice, and then back to Sprint Center on the final year of that six-year 7-6-10 all day long. The trash talking open for you. That was always fun during those days as well. Whenever there was a moment, you just yell the phone number, yell at each other.
Right.
And it usually worked.
And it usually worked, and it was good. And I like the top text on our text line this morning from the 773. My partner's KU, and I'm Mizzou. And, of course, the K is small in this one, so it must be a Mizzou fan texting in. The health of our relationship depends on the renewal of these games. We need the pressure valve release. And that's kind of what it is.
Pressy. Oh. 8 seconds to play. Pressy across midcourt. 5 seconds. Pressy drives. Shot block.
Yep, that's right. Clean block.
Clean from here.
Clean block by Thomas Robinson to end that game at Allen Fieldhouse. Great call, of course, by Bob Davis. Back in the day. And somebody from the 816 wants to know, will it still be a rivalry when KU wins six in a row? And that's a great question. Yeah, I don't know that it really will be much of a rivalry after that, after KU wins six in a row. Maybe it's one of those Bills like, all right, we'll go out there and beat you six straight times. Do you still think this is a rivalry right now? Yes, it is. The answer is yes. Yeah. Regardless if Kansas wins six in a row, Missouri wins six in a row, this is still a rivalry because it has so much more to do with everything else other than just basketball in the game.
Thank you.
Cody and KC. Cody, good morning.
Good morning. Bob, you were right. This was self-inflicted. It was Bill self-inflicted. M-I-Z!
Cody waited like a solid 15 minutes to say that too.
I'm fine.
See, that's awesome. I miss that. I really do. I
miss my Facebook page turning into just a nasty dumpster fire of Kansas fans and Missouri fans arguing about, you know, nothing.
I do miss. Bob's like, I posted a picture of a piece of cake, you know, and I was like, it devolved into KUMU.
Well, that cake is yellow and it's better because that means it's a Mizzou cake.
Those were good times.
They really were. So,
816 saying, I'm glad Adidas finally agreed to the matchup again.
See, we missed this stuff.
Yeah, this is the good stuff that missed for all of these. Can you believe it's been 7 years? It'll be 8 years now in 2020 since that last game over there in Lawrence. I mean, it's almost been two full classes of students at both universities going through.
Well, it seems like a long time since the exhibition game, though, too.
It does. Really? I didn't realize it was only 2017. Yeah. I thought that was years and years ago. I'm like, that was only 2 years ago, right about this time, about 2 years ago. I didn't know it was only 2 years ago. I thought that was definitely further out. But two full classes have graduated and will have graduated from both KU and MU without being part of this rivalry. We can't have that. We got to get that thing back. And I'm glad it is.
They're going to have to bring former players back to explain it to everyone.
Right. That's exactly. Students are going to be going, Kansas and Missouri used to be a rivalry? What?
Jeff and Lawrence is up next. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, the great thing is these Missouri fans are going to bring back Quantrell's Raid, which is kind of funny because back then they burnt down all but four buildings, proving back then Missouri still couldn't get the Final Four.
I miss this. I really
have. That
really
was good.
I really miss this.
M-I-Z-Z-O lose from the 620. That's funny.
Keep coming all day long. 69306 on the Protein House, either the Purpose text line or 913-576-7610.
Maybe the Longhorn Network will air it.
785 suggesting Self never wanted this. Not sure why he's bringing it back. He said yesterday in the statement that it's something that he missed. Just saying. He missed it.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to change your opinion.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Because like, I did just, on this. Because at first I was like, I don't need it.
When somebody like drafts a quarterback and you say they suck and they're good or whatever.
Right. You're allowed to change your opinion. Whatever.
You can do those things.
Like Sam Darnold being good and then putting on a performance like he did last night and everybody realizing he sucks.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, everybody realizing he's pretty much a turd now.
But our guy's jogging in a pool, so it's all better.
Yes.
Rick Burkholder, the Chiefs. Vice President of Sports Medicine and Performance, giving the update on the quarterback.
You guys saw the game and the video. Dr. Paul Schreppel reduced the dislocated patella. We had x-rays at the game that came back negative. Did an MRI Friday here at the facility, and that turned out as good as we could possibly imagine. He's worked all weekend here. He's done rehabilitation. Did extensive pool therapy here at the complex, has done some stuff in the athletic training room and is progressing nicely. As I've talked to you guys over the years here, every guy's different and every injury's different. You saw that with Tyreek, how we managed that. And we do this with all of our players. So we'll manage Patrick accordingly. And he's right in the middle of the process.
There you go. Right in the middle of the process. He's in the training room. He's in the pool.
He was in on Saturday.
Oh, did he say Dr. Schruppel was on?
Dr. Schruppel. Don't you order that at the coffee shop, like a Schruppel? Isn't that like something with like some fruity?
Schruppel mints is what you're thinking.
Oh, Schruppel mints. That's exactly what it is.
Schruppel gets the credit for Stay Still. We're going to pop it back in.
He's good.
Right.
And all those things that that apparently was good.
Right. I give credit to Laurent Duvernay-Tardif because he was out there on the field.
I understand.
And he is a doctor.
Don't take
in
away
the
credit from Schruppel.
Yeah, Schruppel mints doesn't want
the Schruppel.
Yeah. Dr. Schrempel, I need that.
Vite.
Give me some more of that Schrempel. Parmesan.
He's turned into Pepe Le Pew. So Andy toying with everyone, right?
Oh, God, yes.
So he's in a pool and he's in the training room. So that's good, right? Is he out this week?
Yeah, we're going to just see how he does. And, you know, I'd probably say it'd be a stretch for him to get there, but he's working hard, and you know, from the information that we've had to this point, he's doing what he can do, and we'll just see how it goes, but we're gonna get Matt ready to go. On the other hand, so you know that's where we're at right now.
Andy is a genius with the way that he's handling this Mahomes stuff publicly, because that stuff that he said yesterday, number one, had fans fired up that Patrick Mahomes may play on Sunday night. Like, I saw so many fans. He's playing. He's going to play. Andy didn't rule him out. He's going to play. And then when he runs through the tunnel and he plays, the place will go absolutely berserk.
Hey, there's Mr. Miyagi.
But what he's also doing, and this is why I really think that Andy is a genius with the way that he's handling this thing. He's making the Green Bay Packers subconsciously now have to potentially prepare for Patrick Mahomes. They probably saw that injury happen on Thursday night. They all let out a sigh of relief. Whew, we're not going to have to face this guy in Kansas City a week from Sunday on Sunday Night Football. We're not going to have to prepare for Patrick Mahomes. They started their game planning on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, kind of doing some behind-the-scenes stuff leading up to the Chiefs because they had that film that they could already watch as they were putting their finishing touches on the Lions and whoever they played on Sunday. So they've got the opportunity in front of them to not have to prepare for Patrick Mahomes. Then all of a sudden Andy comes out and says, well, we'll see how it goes. You know, he didn't rule him out. He said it'd be kind of difficult for him to play. We're going to get Matt Moore ready.
Hey, you know,
but this is the way Andy Reid beats you on a Monday. This is what we've talked about, beating you on a Tuesday, subconsciously now making you do extra work to prepare just in case Patrick Mahomes is out there on that field on Sunday. If he would have just come out and said, yeah, he's not playing on Sunday, you wouldn't have gotten the excitement out of the fans. And you wouldn't have made the Green Bay Packers go, son of a gun, I don't think he's playing. But what if there's that 1% chance that he does come out there and play? So now they have to spend time this week basically on a fruitless endeavor preparing for somebody that probably won't play.
They're not preparing.
A big part of your job is to waste others' time.
That's exactly right. It really is.
So as a coach.
As
so
a coach.
That's why Bob could be a great coach. He wastes my time all of the time.
Yeah.
So make them, even just in the back of their minds, think of they got to do something. I know he's not going to, but.
But, man, what if he does play? We better put in a couple of packages in case.
You will make them do a little bit of homework.
Nobody's believing this, right?
Oh, you didn't see social media yesterday.
No. You told me to go to the I'm not gonna give the Facebook fan page credit, but you told me to go to the certain one that we all know. The Mensa participants are not hanging out in that group.
Sure. But still, I mean, there was a lot. Hey, he may play. There was one guy who even translated what you just said and put the quote up there. Andy said they're going to reevaluate Friday, and if he can go, he's going to play on Sunday.
Okay, you were high.
And I said there was nothing even close to being said by that. But people post stuff like that, and fans
but
start to buy
in. But football teams have to prepare for everything. Coaches have to prepare for everything.
Yes.
So don't think that
not
you're not.
A single person in Green Bay is like, oh, he's going to go.
No, but teams will prepare for this. Yeah. They have to have their players
ready.
They have to have their players ready just in case. Yeah, absolutely. You have to cover all your bases.
So Andy's wasting their time.
You just wasted.
I mean, I saw his kneecap look like Jell-O on Thursday.
Yeah.
He's not going.
Doesn't matter. He's wasting their time. That's how you beat teams earlier in the week. You play
games
with them.
If he were to play, and Green Bay's defense comes out and says, "We didn't prepare for Pat. We didn't. We were expecting him not to play."
Right.
That's how you get a coach fired.
That's how you get a guy fired. So that's exactly how you
just
get a guy
wasted
fired.
Even a little bit. You've wasted a little bit of their time this week.
Right. It's
that's
great.
Good.
I love it. Way to go, Andy.
69306 on the Protein House E with the Purpose text line. We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to discuss and a darn dose of reality next.
Fesco in the morning.
Six 9 3 0 6 on the Protein House E with the Purpose text line. We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to discuss, 69306. Patriots making a trade today. They've acquired a wide receiver, Mohamed Sanu of the Falcons, now going to the Patriots for a second-round pick in next year's draft. So the Patriots do get themselves a wideout. It wasn't a matter of who at some point in time, right? Who's it going to be? I'd rather it be Mohamed Sanu than A.J. Green.
Sure.
For instance.
But that's not off the table quite
but,
yet.
But that's true. It wouldn't stop them from doing it. Mohamed Sanu comes for a second-round pick. So after a 33-0 shellacking of the Jets last night, the Patriots get a wideout now, too.
Yep.
So
it was, there we go. It was an amazing performance by the Patriots last night. I watched the first half of that game, and I just watched that defense and marvel and go, oh, my God, these guys are just absolutely so good. But you know what? I wasn't the only one talking about how good that defense was last night. You had the quarterback of the New York Jets talking about seeing ghosts last night on the sidelines. The dude was mic'd up, and he's sitting on the sidelines talking about seeing ghosts on the sidelines. And then after the game, Kyle Van Noy responds and goes, and he just kind of laughed about it, you know, and made some kind of comment about, you know, the devil's
the
out
boogeyman.
There. The boogeyman, that's right. What it was. The boogeyman is out there. Do we have that audio somewhere if we can play it? Because he was he was talking about seeing ghosts on the sidelines last night. That's what this Patriots defense does to you. And I'm tired of also hearing about, you know, they haven't played anybody. They haven't given up more than 14 points in a game yet this season. Okay?
I mean, they're going up against the juggernauts like the New York Jets.
They haven't. I don't want to hear that they haven't played anybody.
Yeah, in Washington.
Washington. And yeah, they
played Miami once,
yep,
didn't they?
Yeah, they get the Dolphins another time. But you play who's on your schedule right now. And as you know, the Patriots being 7-0 have outscored their opponents by 175 points this season. That's the highest point differential through seven games since the NFL's first season in 1920. So what's old is new again, and it's the New England Patriots just blowing out opponents like they are. I don't see anybody scoring on this team right now. They are so good on defense.
Sam Darnold was terrible last night.
Though.
I had that on the
four
second TV, and yeah. it looked like stuff was on replay. Every time I looked over, he was turning the football over to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were when it got from bad to worse was when they dropped a punt inside the five and then got a safety.
It was
crazy. Like they just every time there was something good happening for the Patriots, they were pretty incredible last night in a game that a lot of people thought, well, could the Jets pull the surprise? No, they got drilled.
The answer is no.
So the Patriots rolled a 7-0 and then pick up a wide receiver today.
And get Mohamed Sanu. And the other thing about that game, you know, I don't know if you saw the first drive that they put on against the Jets last night. Very reminiscent of what they did at Arrowhead in the AFC Championship.
Like
almost 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Almost 9 minutes of just running the football, converting on third downs, making plays. It was one of the most perfect drives I've seen basically since that AFC Championship game.
A clinic. Dose of reality last night, Therese Paylor show, which you can hear Monday nights at 6 here on 610 Sports Radio. Who could the Chiefs trade for?
I think the Chiefs were dealt a dose of bad luck by the Cardinals suddenly deciding to wake up and play football. They're 3-3-1 right now somehow, and I don't think they're going to move Peterson. I mean, they're just at a point now where they're competitive. You know, Steve Keim is trying to like win enough games. Unless something happens there I don't think that that's something that, you know, that they're going to move on right now. And then from there, listen, you can get some guys that might be out there, right? Like, you know, I'm thinking that it's good that the only thing out there that's like really available, like, are bad contracts. So I'm just telling you where I'm at right now is that this team's going to have to get better by internal improvement, because I'm just not hearing about a lot of candidates outside of the organization that are viable that will help you. It's just bad contracts right now.
Yeah. Okay, let's roll.
There's reality. Trade's not really going to help this team. Patrick Peterson was kind of your last ditch effort of a big name player that could come in and do something. And because the Cardinals are 3-3-1, they feel like they're in it.
They're still in it.
And they don't realize that the 49ers are 6-0, looking, you know, down at everybody else in that division right now. And you still have the defending NFC champs, the Rams. in that division. So the Cardinals can think they're in it. They're not, but their mind is preventing them from doing what's best for their organization, and that's making a trade for Patrick Peterson to get better. And so everybody's got to get better. It's a good thing we had Thursday night. A lot of guys did play well in that game on Thursday night. So hopefully we can use that as a stepping stone to getting better as this season rolls along. But I wouldn't look for anything spectacular, you know, and Trez is saying it as well, in the trade market. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Brother Ryan, what do we got today besides MUKU smack talk going on?
We do have some MUKU smack talk going on. Somebody wanting to know if now that the rivalry is back, will 18th-year senior Perry Ellis still suit up for the squad?
Perry Ellis will be playing. He will be. He'll be a part of the game, and he's very excited to do so.
My grandfather closed your eyes, Perry Ellis.
Perry is actually. Somebody don't know. Perry's on the bench this year, by the way. He's joined the Kansas coaching staff.
Wait,
so.
What?
Yeah, yeah. He's part of the coaching
player
staff.
Coach.
Was this in the news?
Yeah. So. He's back. Well,
snuck that through the five hole, didn't
he? I think Bill just kind of does that just to mess with people, right? Like, Perry's still on the bench. What?
913 says they laughed out loud watching Hotel Transylvania 2.
I didn't know there was a second version.
I think there's three of them now.
Is there really?
I believe so.
Is that
so.
Supposed to be a comedy spoof on, like, scary movies or something? Like Scary Movie was?
No. It's Hotel Transylvania, Bob. You should get hip with that. Mahomes will come out of the tunnel like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'd rather have him come out of a casket like The Undertaker. That'd be cool.
I think what would be cool if Mahomes bangs the drum on Sunday night, and all of a sudden they don't tell you who it is.
Oh, yeah.
And they take like a sheet off his head, and he's up there banging the drum. Like, they have him hidden, you know, and all of a sudden they
with
reveal
a sheet
it.
On his head.
I mean, how else could you hide a person, right? Like, cover him up with something, like a mask?
Like,
you
rip
the mask
off?
Yeah,
for Halloween.
That's exactly it. Yeah. It's the game before
there.
Halloween. You dress him as a ghost, and you put him up there, and then all of a sudden they pull it off. And there it is, Mahomes, and he's banging the drum. The place would go nuts.
660 says, where I work, the men's room has a toilet and a urinal. Someone keeps peeing in the toilet with the lid down and gets it all over the seat and doesn't flush. What man uses a toilet instead of a urinal?
Well, we do, because we have one urinal and four toilets, and when we all go at the same time.
I mean, that's a mitigating circumstance. But if I walk in there and
and the option
all
is one
of
or
them
the
are
other,
available?
You go to the urinal. Yeah.
I don't know. No kind of man I want to talk to. 913, I have three Gatorade bottles in my car, and each will be refilled with water approximately 15 times before I trash them.
What is the actual lifespan of a plastic water bottle?
I
go a couple of weeks for
mine. Yeah, it's usually a couple weeks.
It's weird, because I don't like refilling Gatorade bottles, because
you
never get
that taste.
You never get the Gatorade taste out.
You don't. You always have that, like,
and you
in
don't
the background.
Want the super watered-down Gatorade taste.
Right. Yeah.
The McDonald's next to me kept asking if I wanted jelly when I ordered sausage and egg McMuffin, so I finally tried it, and it was delicious.
Yeah, sounds I can good. Imagine jelly is probably good. Pretty good on that. Yeah.
It does sound pretty good. Absolutely. Why do I always get behind the slowest person at a salad bar or buffet? What are you in a hurry for? A salad bar, I could see. You're lunchtime, you're trying to get the hell out of it.
Yeah.
You're at the Golden Corral. You slow your ass down.
Is Sweet Tomato still around, or is that place officially closed everywhere?
What?
I don't know if there is one that's still open or not. I don't
think
so.
There used to be one at like 75th-ish and State
gone.
Line.
That
that's gone.
Yeah.
The one out on like College and Antioch is closed.
College gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's gone.
636, craziest thing you've put in ramen noodles?
Water.
Yeah, I there's nothing wrong with regular ramen. It tastes just fine by itself.
I used to eat them in the Louise
I spam it up sometimes.
Spam
in the ramen. Delicious. When was the last time you performed for your kids via armpit fart? I've never been a good
armpit
farter.
I can't do an
armpit farter.
I am a bad armpit farter. It's never been something that I can master. I was
I'm
always
too husky.
Mad as a kid. I could never get it down. It was too hard. Josh, can you armpit fart?
Probably still can. It's been a while.
816 says Therese's voice gets him halfway there. Where?
What? I don't. It's
oh!
Not
which side of the rivalry is Ryan on? Well, I went to UMKC. Kansas City. I went to... Kansas City is the preferred nomenclature nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
My wife went to Mizzou.
Who?
My wife.
You're in the Missouri system.
I am in the Missouri system. Yep. I grew up rooting for the Jayhawks because I wanted to have a team that actually won.
You went with the Lions and the Jayhawks.
Yeah, but then I saw how y'all handled that championship, and it just really upset me. So,
plus, your ruse get the Jayhawks this year.
That's
so.
Right, at Sprint Center.
At Sprint Center, the appetizer.
Right. Then after that, we want Bama.
They're going to have Mizzou, Kansas City, and then Mizzou, Columbia.
Yep.
I'm on the I don't care. I just like to sit back and watch everybody kind of fight amongst out. Themselves.
That's fun. Cool.
Sometimes you're kind of like that guy who starts the fight and walks away and leaves the bar. And
I mean, I'm not starting the fight. I'm just going to watch the fight.
Nah, I think you're inserting yourself on both sides.
I'm the guy sitting at home on YouTube watching bum fights. That's what it is. Which apparently you're not supposed to be doing.
No.
Someone says trade for Sue. I'm in on that.
Is he still around?
Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
Who's he with?
He's a mercenary. He'll go to any team.
He will.
Where is he right now?
Where is he?
Where did I just see Ndamukong Suh?
I saw him somewhere.
I think it's in Tampa.
I think you're right. That guy just signs a one-year contract to the highest bidder. Smart man.
Yeah,
smart man.
Plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That it?
I mean, that's. I could keep going, but we're way behind.
All right, that is today's edition of Shout It Out. It is back, and it is glorious. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back in this segment brought to you by Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. In the Crossroads, open for breakfast, open for lunch. They can cater breakfast and lunch as well. Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. The Border Showdown's back. Kansas and Missouri will play at Sprint Center next season. Play on the campuses two times each. And then back at Sprint Center, part of a six-year deal announced between the two schools. To play hoops. They haven't met in the regular season since 2012. We'll talk to both athletic directors, Jim Sterk of Missouri, Jeff Long of Kansas, coming up at 7:30. They will join us with more on this matchup, and we'll see if either can commit to football.
Going to throw it into Pressey. 8 seconds to play. Pressey across midcourt. 5 seconds. Pressey drives. Shot block.
There it is. A clean block to end the Kansas-Missouri rivalry at Allen Fieldhouse back in 2012.
I bring Pressey and Robinson to do the ceremonial jump ball before
jump ball.
The
That would be really good. Is either one of them busy doing
before
anything?
Before the matchup in December.
What's Pressey got
year.
Going on? Robinson's not in the
both
league
are,
anymore.
Both are playing somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah, like yeah. overseas or something like that, probably now at this point in time, where you make a
no,
lot
Robinson's
of money.
No, Robinson's bounced around.
Is he still in the league? Yeah. Is he still around? The NBA begins tonight. Is he on a roster anywhere?
I think so.
Is
I think he is.
Is Pressey on a roster
I think they
somewhere?
Both are, but I'm not
really?
Positive.
All right, check it out. See if they're not, then we got the opportunity to bring him back and reenact one of the cleanest plays that was ever made in college basketball between both Kansas and Missouri. And it's good. Like I think both Kansas and Missouri need this game more than they want to believe. Kansas for a long time, and I was included in this, didn't believe we needed this game. We do need this game. College basketball has slowly deteriorated and become, for a lot of us, including myself, a very unwatchable product at times. And a lot of people just believe that college basketball exists during March. I was on a text there with a couple of buddies. One lives in St. Louis. The other lives in New York City. And the response was, college basketball only matters in March. Who the hell cares? And I'm like, yeah, but in Kansas City, people do care about this. And people will be excited about this. And it gives college basketball in this town juice from a product that has lost a lot of juice over the years in this town. It's not as strong a product in Kansas City anymore as it once was. I mean, back when the two teams were in the same league, college basketball mattered in this town. Then the Big 12 deteriorated. Missouri went their way. Kansas went their way. The Royals got good. Sporting got good. The Chiefs got good. And, you know, nobody was really talking about college basketball. Then Kansas was on television stations you couldn't find. 10 of their games are on television stations you have to pay for this year. I mean, it's become a product that is really, in my opinion, become more of a niche product now than it has ever been before, except for those 3 weeks in March. And if college basketball wants to continue to have that buzz all year long, you need stuff like this. You need the Champions Classic. You need Feast Week. And then right before the start of the conference season, which isn't appealing to really either Kansas or Missouri. Like, if you're Mizzou, what conference game are you getting excited about? If you're
Kentucky,
Kansas,
that's it. That's it.
Yeah, but and if you're Kansas,
I'll tell you at Arkansas, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They try to force that one down at your throat. And if
Kentucky is a traveling road show. Everybody's biggest game.
Yeah, and if you're Kansas, though, what conference game are you really getting
you're
excited
everybody's
for?
Traveling
you're
road
everybody's
show.
Traveling road show. Yeah. So there's nobody really that you can look at. One year it's Texas, one year it's Iowa State. At least when the two teams were in the league together, regardless of what was going on, you had that hatred and you had that dislike and you had those rivalry games, two of them a year, that were built in and that could kind of captivate. We've lost that over the last 8-9 years now that it's been since this league has split up and everybody has gone their own way. So it's good to bring this back to establish college basketball back in Kansas City, because I believe college sports as a whole have lost its footing here in Kansas City because our pro teams have taken off and been so good.
Thomas Robinson, the G League, Phil Pressey in Spain.
Okay, well,
so
there
we
you
might
go.
Be able to work it out.
Yeah, we can figure that out.
We might be able to
so
work it out.
So neither on a roster. I think they're both on a roster. Nope.
I think they might have been both on like a preseason.
Were they?
Kicking Pressey around with people, I think. But I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to tell. Everybody, you don't really retire from basketball, which is good. Just keep playing ball. Mm-hmm. Just keep cashing a check somewhere in the world, and you'll do just fine. Again, both athletic directors coming up at 7:30. We'll talk with Jeff Long in Kansas, Jim Sterk of Missouri, about the border showdown being back coming up at 7:30. So we heard a little bit earlier from Andy Reid to not rule out Patrick Mahomes this week against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, we're going to just see how he does. And, you know, I'd probably say it'd be, you know, be a stretch for him to get there. But he's working hard. And, you know, from the information that we've had this to this point, you know, he's doing what he can do. And we'll just see how it goes. And but we're going to get Matt ready to go on the other hand. So, you know, that's where we're at right now.
That's where they're at right now. Could they get some others back from the injured list this week?
Fisher, Jones, Watkins are all making progress. They're day-to-day and working hard. And we'll just see how things go here the next few days as we get ready to play Green Bay.
There you go. They're all working hard. Mm-hmm. They're day-to-day. We'll just have to see.
Well, with
they're all going through it, they're working hard.
With Matt Moore being the quarterback over the next couple of weeks, I think it's very important and very imperative that of those three, Eric Fisher gets back sooner than anybody else. I think he is the piece of that puzzle of those three guys that we need back more than anybody else. Sammy Watkins is gravy on mashed potatoes. We'll talk about him in 1 second. But I think of those three guys that he mentioned, if I'm having a wish list of who I want back first, second, and third, number one with a bullet to me is Eric Fisher. We talked about it last week.
We're working too.
How this offense has gone down and down and down since Eric Fisher has been out of the lineup. And now the ultimate has happened. We've lost the starting quarterback for a couple of weeks. So I think ultimately for me, for my opinion, for my money, Eric Fisher is the guy that needs to come back. And I said it last week, and I'll continue to stress, taking away Patrick Mahomes, Eric Fisher has shown that he's the MVP of this offense because nobody has been able to get the job done along the offensive line with Eric Fisher out of the lineup. And with Matt Moore playing now, we're really going to need somebody to protect his blind side because he's not Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't sense that pressure. He doesn't move around like Patrick. He just doesn't. Nobody does, right? So you need somebody on that side that's going to protect Matt Moore and give him a chance. Cam Irving doesn't really do that. Chris Jones.
Totally disagree with you.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't need Fisher to play for bench for Matt Moore.
I need Fisher to play, though, for the offense.
I need Fisher to play for Patrick Mahomes when he's back.
Oh, I need him to play for this offense.
Be fully healthy, and I don't need to see you. I don't need to see you protecting the backup quarterback. I need to see you protecting the number one quarterback. Go ahead and take – you can go ahead, go rehab. You guys go ride the bikes together over the side, and you can come back together.
I think if you want to try to accomplish anything, you need Eric Fisher back in this lineup.
I think
it's time to knock the rust off of him too.
I think you do need him, but I'll wait for 15. They can run in the tunnel together.
Well, I think Chris Jones comes in second on this list. Derek Nnadi showed a lot in that game against the Denver Broncos, but obviously Chris Jones coming back will be a big boost to this defense and give you something that you need on that defensive front going into the rest of the season. But as for Chris Jones, I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. It was basically the same injury that Fish had. He's been out for over a month right now. So I'm not expecting him back anytime soon. And Sammy Watkins, as I said, he's the gravy on the potatoes at Thanksgiving. You aren't counting on it, but it's there. It's wonderful. You want to use it. You'll utilize that gravy. Yeah. Sammy Watkins
is
gravy.
Who's not counting on gravy? Yeah.
I don't ever count on gravy because you don't eat gravy all year long. You eat gravy like twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Maybe Easter.
But you know,
like a good brown gravy or turkey gravy?
You know the gravy's there. You know it's going to be there at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You don't know Sammy Watkins is going to be there.
I eat gravy more than three times a year.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised.
You bleed into that gravy, man.
Yeah, if I stabbed you, the gravy would shoot out your arm.
I wish Sammy Watkins was as reliable as gravy. He's not.
But you don't really need them. But if it's there, you're like, oh, gravy. And you put it on everything, right? Like, you can do without gravy at Thanksgiving. You add a little bit more butter to the potatoes,
you
cranberry
put the
jelly
down,
on
and
the
then
turkey.
You just take the gravy around the world.
You do. No question. But you don't need to do that to make everything taste good. It's an enhancement. Sammy Watkins is like an enhancement. If you have them, it's great.
I mean, Sammy Watkins is like cranberry sauce to me. Like, I don't need that.
Oh, see, I like the cranberry sauce. That makes the turkey moist.
If the gravy's not there, you're disappointed. If Sammy Watkins isn't there, it's expected.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're disappointed, though, if the gravy
Sammy
isn't
Watkins
there.
Is like that crock pot, like, stuffing that your grandma makes and nobody really wants to eat. That's what he is. He's just there.
I think if you're going to...
I don't know if it's going to be available, but I'll eat it if it's there. Right?
We know it's going.
The gravy, you know, is going to be.
But
there.
But the gravy,
I don't know,
to
Sammy
me,
is.
The gravy to me is always the big. Oh, that's
are we
right,
still talking about
gravy.
Sammy Watkins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sammy is to gravy.
Yeah, he's the gravy. Something. Like, I don't need it. If it's there, I'm going to use it. But if it's not there, I can do without. Like, all year long, you're not getting gravy for your mashed potatoes. You just aren't. But on Thanksgiving, like, ooh,
what
gravy
are you
on top of my mashed potatoes.
How are you eating mashed potatoes without gravy?
Butter.
You eating some cheddar mash or something?
Oh, God, you mixing cheddar. You mixing red potatoes, cheddar, some heavy cream, put some butter on that. You don't need gravy. But if the gravy's there, you're like, all right, I'll use this. And that's why Sammy Watkins
you're
is the gravy.
You're underselling gravy and overselling
Sammy
Watkins.
Why don't we put gravy on baked potatoes since we're on the topic?
That's a good question. Because gravy is like one of those things that you don't necessarily need, but if it's there, you're going to use. People don't think about using
no,
it for a
no.
mashed
icing
potato.
On the cake is the thing that you don't need.
Oh, I need icing. I'm not eating cake without icing. What are you, a psychopath? Who's eating dry cake?
I love dry cake.
Ugh.
It's delicious.
Ugh.
Nice
ugh.
Pound cake. With, I guess that has the frosting on it.
Dry cake.
Thin,
nobody's
white frosting.
That. Ugh. Give me the icing. I'd rather eat the icing than the cake.
I'm trying to think what Sammy Watkins is to me because I don't just really don't count on it.
Maybe he's like sprinkles on the ice cream. Like, they don't really do a lot for you because I don't.
What do Jimmy's
do
for
and
you?
I don't really need it at this point.
Yeah, but it's nice. It's good to make it look
it's
nice.
Fine. Yeah.
Sammy Watkins' deviled eggs.
But deviled eggs, sometimes you get it like a summertime
you
picnic.
Need those, man, like before
and
the meal starts.
And if there's deviled eggs, you're eating a bunch of those,
yeah,
too,
like before
right?
the
yeah.
meal starts, you're in there like snacking on those terrible like little tiny pickles and the olives and,
right.
and deviled eggs. That's,
yeah.
What you get?
Yeah, it gets the appetite going. No, to me, Sammy Watkins is the gravy. I don't need it, but if it's there, I'm going to utilize it.
Dayton Hughes coming up in 3 minutes. Former Chiefs wide receiver will join us. We'll discuss gravy and more with Dayton coming up.
That's the
up.
Type of content you can only get right here.
Yeah.
That's right.
I just need to think about this more because I like gravy much more than I like Sammy.
I think deviled eggs. I actually do.
What about Cool Whip?
No, Cool Whip's a staple. You have to have it. I have like a 3-to-1 ratio on pumpkin pie.
Oh, and
Cool
if there's Cool Whip on the table, I am piling it.
Why are you
it
pronouncing
on?
It like that?
Like what?
Your emphasis.
Cool Whip?
All right. You're just going to do that then, I guess.
He's don't you like Cool Whip?
He'll continue the conversation just so he can say it like that. You realize this.
But I don't just take a dollop of that. I pile that on. Yes, I do. But if it's not there, I'm still going to enjoy the pumpkin pie.
What about
pie.
Like the dinner roll? Like. I don't necessarily need the dinner roll.
No,
it's
that just
filling.
Takes up space. Yeah.
Dinner roll's a good one.
But that's what I'm saying. Like he's
Sammy.
It's
yeah.
nice. It's a
yeah.
nice accoutrement. Yeah. You can kind of mop up the plate with it.
But I'm not counting on it.
But I'm not utilizing the dinner roll. Like I don't have to take the dinner roll. But if the gravy's
right,
there,
you
yeah.
don't have to take Sammy Watkins either because he's never available.
But if he's there, you're going to utilize him. Just
right,
like the
just
gravy.
Like the dinner roll. I'm going to use the dinner roll to mop up my gravy.
I expect me some giblet gravy.
I don't need to have it.
I'm out on the dinner roll.
No, I expect giblet gravy on the table. With giblets, which is something you never eat normally.
No, you don't normally eat that.
But the dinner roll is always good, Ryan.
No,
so I'm not sure.
I've had bad dinner
rolls. Can you just order giblets by themselves? Is that?
Yeah.
All right.
But Sammy's not always good. I have to think on this.
Not always healthy.
And sports.
No, this is sports. It's Sammy Watkins. And your belief level in Sammy Watkins. I have zero. He's like off my radar. I can't count on him. Can't believe in him.
But
don't
man,
really need him.
That's that. And that's how I feel about gravy. If it's there, I don't really
I need,
count on it.
I
don't
need
really
gravy.
Need it. But if it's there, hell yes, let's go.
Steven OP. Steve, save us from ourselves.
What do you get when you get, what do you have when you have 12 Missouri cheerleaders in one room?
I don't know.
Full set of teeth.
Feel free to chime in today. Kansas and Missouri are back. That's a good thing. 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. I love that he hung around on the line for a while to get to that. Your chance to win $25 to Toppers. That is our 7 o'clock hour prize just for listening. We give stuff away at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock each and every day, and Ryan makes it simple to win.
I do like to keep it super simple on the people. All you have to do is listen and dial. You'll listen for this.
I mean, really?
Yeah, really. Next time you hear that, be caller number
172.
Caller number 17, 913-576-7610. Caller number 17, next time you hear that, I will hook you up with $25 to Topper's Pizza.
I think Kansas has 172 all-time wins against the University of Missouri, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's like 172-95 or something like that with the rivalry.
Well, that's Kansas's total.
That's right. Then you look at Missouri's is like probably 171 different. And 96.
Yeah, it'll be different.
Any
good rivalry does not have the same identical record.
They
so
don't.
Because there's always games that are in jeopardy or
right.
disputed between the two schools. That's how you know that there's a rivalry.
Because you look at the football rivalry, and Kansas has a different record versus Missouri than Missouri has versus Kansas. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Someone was ineligible, blah, blah, blah. That's how you know it's a good rivalry.
Or before they actually had scoreboards and they just kept scoring their head. Nobody can remember who won.
That's probably part of the case as well. We are joined now by Dayton Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, as the Chiefs get ready to prepare or are preparing for the Packers. Are you a believer, Dayton, in the defense from the Broncos game, and can that carry over?
Hold on, Clang. You just can't get fast to that point. I mean, we got to go back to Gravy.
Okay, Gravy,
Bob.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
We're Jersey brothers. I'm
right.
with Gravy. I mean, I love it when it's available, but it doesn't necessarily ruin my meal if it's not.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
All right. I'm glad you're on the up and up with me on that one, Dana, and I appreciate you, you know, you waving the banner and understanding what Gravy is all about.
Glad you Jersey brothers can stick together and the Hawkeyes are split apart. So
yeah.
I see where your allegiances are, Dana.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Hey, you know, I go way back to Jersey. Forget about it.
That's
you know,
exactly
who died
right.
And left you boss.
Yeah. Yeah, if Gravy's there, you're going to use it. But if it's not, the meal's not ruined. It's still a damn good meal.
Right. And you guys have seen me tweet out my Thanksgiving plate.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you put together a plate.
You know what a delicacy that is. I mean, it should be in a museum.
It really should. So back to Sammy Watkins and the Gravy later on in the conversation. You looked at the defense on Thursday night. You saw what they did on Thursday night. You were there on Thursday night. How much of it was them versus how much of it was Joe Flacco quitting midway through the game?
It's funny. My wife even noticed on TV. She said, "He doesn't even look like he looks like he's ready just to go home." And that was like third quarter. She texted me. So, it was. I think it's a little bit more of Denver. And I'm not quite sold on the Chiefs' defense yet. And I say that because it was such a drastic difference. I mean, it was a 180-degree change from what we had seen up until that point that I don't know yet if it's going to be, you know, somewhere in the middle. I mean, somewhere in the middle is exactly what we've been dreaming of since January. So I'll take it for now. But I'm going to lean a little bit more on the fact that it was Joe Flacco and the Denver Broncos more so than this Chiefs defense. And so I see it maybe two or three more times.
Well, Dan, and I think also, too, when you look at what they were able to do, maybe for us you can say maybe it was Joe Flacco, but how much confidence does a team gain when they have a performance like that?
Well, you have to have those kind of performances every once in a while, and especially if you are a defense that has been miserable up until that point. And lost two home games in a row against two teams that could possibly be in the playoffs. At least one of them will be. And so, to me, it was necessary to have that kind of performance. You just need to have some kind of production, some kind of goodness, I guess you can say, show itself on the field. I mean, no matter how much you believe in Spags, no matter how much you believe in the free agents that were signed, no matter how much you believe in each other in that locker room. Hey, everybody's against us. We're all just for each other. Let's go out there and do it for our brothers. All those things you hear in the locker room, it has to be shown on the field at some point. otherwise it's just worries. And so whether you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals or the Miami Dolphins or whomever, you have to have some sort of production, positive production on the field, show itself in that fashion. Now, should we be expecting 9 sacks and only 6 points given up in a game going forward? No. But if we can get 4 or 5 sacks and a couple more turnovers, I'll take that any day of the week.
No doubt. Yeah, you will absolutely take that. Talking with Dane and Hughes, brought to you by Mazeries Jewelry. Jewelry that's dazzled Kansas City for over 40 years. And now we've got ourselves a backup quarterback, Dane. And from a wide receiver perspective, what's it like playing with a backup quarterback who really hasn't done anything all year?
You know what? It's not as drastic an issue with the players on the field. I mean, yes, for us as fans and outside, oh, my gosh, the sky's falling when Patrick Mahomes went down and the season is gone and they were, you know, people folding up his jersey and putting it in coffins or whatever. I mean, it's not that drastic. I mean, Matt Moore has been around the league. And you know what? We've had a quarterback here similar to Matt Moore, and his name was Alex Smith. And I say that because the offense is going to be geared towards, and these are the two drastic words that a lot of football people don't ever want to hear, game manager. He's going to be a game manager on the field, take calculated shots down the field, but they're going to lean more on the run game. You saw when he came in, the short passing game is going to be more effective, and then they're going to take occasional shots downfield. So we're not expecting him. No one in that locker room, especially the wide receivers, are expecting him to come in and be Patrick Mahomes 2.0. They know what they have in them. It's going to be a little bit different offense production-wise, but they're expecting him to go out there and game manage and not turn the ball over. And I think that's what you expect pretty much across the league. Outside of Jacoby Brissett and Teddy Bridgewater, that's pretty much what you've expected from all of the backup quarterbacks that are playing in the NFL right now.
And Andy's so good at scheming and drawing up game plans, I got to imagine he's going to tweak things perfectly to fit his skill set.
Absolutely. I mean, you see some of the things that Patrick Mahomes does, the pump fakes on the jet sweeps and the throw down field, the pump fakes on one side and then the screen on the backside. You're just not going to see some of those nuances that have been a part of this offense for the past year and a half. What you're going to see is something similar to what we saw with Alex Smith. And you're right. Andy Reid has had Donovan McNabb. And he's had multiple other quarterbacks that were pretty much game managers around that. So he's used to having both the superstar, gunslinger, and the game manager. And he's won. His history has shown that he's won with both. So I don't expect it. It may not be as glitz and glamour like we've seen up until this point, but it's going to be winning football.
Dane and Hughes with us here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Mazeries Jewelry. Jewelry that's dazzled Kansas City for over 40 years. And Dane, what is your expectation in these 3 games coming up without Patrick Mahomes? I look at it and say, if they lose these games to the Vikings and the Packers, so what? It really doesn't change anything from a playoff standpoint. They're still going to be in. They still have a really good shot to get a bye and a home game in the postseason. What is your expectation for these next 3 games?
Well, for the next 3 games, you know what? It was going to be a tough uphill battle to play against Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, whether he's coming to outfield or not. And, you know, I don't think many people would be surprised if we would have lost that game even with Patrick Mahomes. The Vikings, that's kind of a 50-50 game because we've seen them be really good in these last few weeks, and we've seen them be really bad. And Kirk Cousins is a guy that's not very mobile, kind of reminds me of a better version of Joe Flacco and can be that type of player. So if we can play against him like we played against Flacco, we'd win that game. To me, the timetable on Patrick Mahomes coming back is going to be how we fare in the next 2 to 3 games. That's going to dictate things. But going to your postseason comment about getting a home game, yes, we'd love to have home games here. We had them last year. It was a great experience. But a healthy Patrick Mahomes, a healthy Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, hopefully, and a relatively healthy defense, I'm not scared to go anywhere with those guys. So, yeah, it would be nice to experience it, kind of like the Royals in 2014 and the wild card game and so on, seeing the height of excitement around the city. But if they got to go to New England, or if they have to go to Indianapolis
I have no question that if we're healthy, we can beat anybody in the NFL. So I'm not caught up in that at this point yet. I'm thinking more so when Patrick Mahomes is going to get back on the field, and I'd say that it'll probably be, well, 4 weeks. But if we go 0-2, it might be escalated a little quicker.
Perfect person to ask, Danon Hughes. So if Matt Moore leads them throughout the remainder of the season and it gets to the playoff game, are you going back to Patrick Mahomes? Sorry, did I just open up a wound?
Yeah, you did.
All right.
It's too early in the morning for that one, but I'm definitely going back to Patrick Mahomes. The difference is we have an MVP. We don't have Elvis Gerback and Rich Gannon saga. So, yes, I'm going back to Patrick.
Sorry, I had to needle you in the ribs.
It was just mean because you didn't side with the gravy comments. You could take an unnecessary
shot.
That's right. That's right.
It's an unnecessary shot.
Circling back around to gravy.
You need to mature.
Danon, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Danon Hughes brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry. Jewelry that's dazzled Kansas City for over 40 years.
You can catch Danon, Joe Mays, Players Only show coming up on a Thursday at 6 right here on 610 Sports Radio each and every week. And Danon joins us weekly as well to talk Chiefs. Brandon Nolatha, your winner this hour. He gets $25 to, what was the prize? $25 to Topper's Pizza just for listening. That was our 7 o'clock hour prize. We give stuff away at 8 and 9 as well. Too top heavy, apparently, next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.